Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. No man, diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, got a sign. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine.
Welcome to episode 286 of Force and Brawn. I'm Dale Flanders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Prime in the building. We're talking today, position breakdown. It's the tight end position. I think if we're going to talk about the tight end position, this is the first time in a long time we're not bringing up Zach Ertz. It's actually a great opportunity for Dallas Goedert. But overall, I mean, I think the tight end position is going to be very interesting. If you're talking about who's going to be tight end two, tight end three, how many tight ends we're going to bring this year to the table, the possible transition of J-Jaw to the tight end position. Overall, how are you guys feeling about the tight end position before we get into it?
To be honest with you, over the moon, Gale. Okay. If I'm looking at this tight end position, obviously our golden era is the Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert years. But I love Dallas Goedert's ability. I was saying it while Zach Ertz was still here. I think that he is a more complete tight end. I'm not saying better. I'm just saying as far as the tight end position is considered, I think he's more complete. He's able to give those blocks. He's able to shed tackles, which is something that obviously Zach Ertz would struggle to here, but, you know, still had a hell of a career. But if you just look at the depth of these guys, man, like, I feel like tight end is a kind of somewhat of a tough position to come by in the NFL. And the fact that we have, I would say, a top five, arguably, tight end as our starter, followed by a very deep roster beneath him. I'm happy with it, man. I really think that we have one of the better tight end groups in the entire league.
I like the way you're starting off there, Ev. Yeah.
I mean, the way we started off realizing that Zach Ertz is no longer part of the roster, I mean, it's already strange, you know what I mean, with the fact that he's in Arizona now, and here we got Dallas Goedert and six other guys that are pretty much have to step up to the table, you know what I mean, to go ahead and complete this this spot for the tight ends. I didn't even realize, you know, until the beginning of the show that we had seven on the roster, seven tight ends. I mean, that's a lot. It's like we're stacked all over the place. So, you know, the offseason is going to be really tough to go ahead and decide who's going to go ahead and be, like, you know, the legit people in these spots. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, man. But I'm also looking, you know, like Evan, I'm also looking forward to seeing what these guys are going to bring to the table. Dallas Goedert, excited about him, man. You know, the chemistry he's got with the team in general is real big. You know, he's got a great relationship with his boy. And, you know, it leads all the way into the season. Like, so just having that attitude, you know what I mean? It's going to play a big role. You know, so I'm like with you guys, I'm looking forward to seeing what these guys are all about this season.
Shout out to the people that are in the chat, on a Friday. I mean, most people are getting ready to gear up to go party, maybe go down to the shore, maybe, do some grilling,
hit a bar,
eat dinner. Hopefully, Prime ate already.
I'm gonna be hangry by the end of the show.
No, I haven't eaten either. Yeah. But AJ in the comments is saying Dallas needs to concentrate on his hands. He will be awesome. She's saying hope Tyree comes back. We got some more love from Tyree Jackson. Mm-hmm. I'll shout out to Todd. And I think we've got to shout out an upper bird gang.
Obviously we're deep at tight end. Obviously people want to talk about Tyree Jackson, but I don't want to sweep Dallas Goedert underneath of the rug already. I mean, if I'm just looking at his stats, this is a guy that has improved every single year he's been in the league. And obviously he was fighting for targets while Zach Ertz was here. But last year, as Zach Ertz leaves, I mean, 56 receptions, 830 yards, four touchdowns. That is very impressive in my mind, especially when you're considering that, you know, we as a fan base were critical of Jalen Hurts last year, but Dallas Goedert ended up being one of his favorite targets, which I think is a great connection for him to form. I think year two of Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts can be something special, man. I'm smelling a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert to me, it's weird that we're here because if y'all have been sticking with us, Dallas Goedert, even before Dallas Goedert was on this team, was a guy that I wanted on the Eagles, and to forecast what he might be, and here we are, and Zach Ertz is out of the picture, and it's all come to fruition, and Dallas Goedert, you know, he's in his fifth year. It was interesting because I didn't realize Dallas was 27 in a Tybo class. But I think, you know, just thinking about Dallas Goedert, this is his opportunity to shine. You talk about being a running offense and not getting as much targets as I think he needs to be fed. I think he's got a great opportunity to get targets and get those one-on-ones. And I think he should be a solid force in the middle of the field. And I think Dallas and Jalen have to get that connection going early and often.
Wait, when you mention how Dallas Goedert is 27 years old, are you saying that with, like, you think he's getting up there? Like,
time flies, man. You
27 old now? Bro, come on. I'm 27.
No. But, bro, he's going in. He's been here 5 years.
Yeah, no, that part is kind of shocking. I mean, I remember when, and to touch on your point, there was really one guy. He was obviously the draft after we got Carson Wentz. And he was the first pick that we had because we traded all of our assets in order to grab Carson in the previous year. But I remember in the pre-draft process, we came to you and we're like, you know, you know the college players better than we do. Give us some names. You gave me one name off the bat. It was Dallas Goedert, bro. We ended up drafting him. So, you know, the rest is history. I think he's a great tight end. He's obviously has elite hands. Dude, I don't know how we feel out the rest of this roster. It's going to be kind of it's going to be a bloodbath who gets tight end two and the rest of the positions.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his fifth year. I mean, to me, that doesn't really matter as much, you know, I mean, because of the fact that, you know, the kid, he plays his ass off. So I like, you know, that pretty much overpowers all the other bullshit. You know, so, I mean, I think he's still got a good 4 or 5 years left in him, man. I think, you know, his physique, again, I mentioned his attitude, like all that stuff plays a factor, you know, how far you go in the NFL, you know, and with Zach not being here no more, you know, he's definitely in that role now to go ahead and shine. And he started it off well last year. I mean, he did play that one game, you know, and I always mention the Jets game because it was a great game. But I mean, Dallas Goedert was a great, you know, was the majority of the target that game. And he played his ass off. I mean, I think we were all gunning for him to like go over 100 receiving yards that game. Like, it's that type of attitude in that game. You know, I mean, he was excited. He was like asking for the ball the whole time. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, I mean, do his thing regardless on how long he's been in the NFL.
I know he dealt with concussions and I think he had COVID last year as well, but I feel like it's his time to shine. It is definitely his time to shine. I think people in the comments have been thoroughly backing Dallas. I mean, moving right along, I think this is where it gets interesting for me. I feel like like who's going to be that tight end too? Like there's, I mean, we can go any one of these guys could be tight
end. That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's going to be a bloodbath. One second real quick. I just had to bring this point up. this is the peak age. So this is the age, according to this graph, that the respective tight end, how like their best season. So at age 25 seems to be the golden year for tight ends in the NFL. But if you're looking at this bell curve, honestly, as you start to slope down into the 30s, there's still some productive seasons there. That's essentially the point I'm trying to get across. I think tight end is relatively not an old man's position, but it's a hell of a lot older than a running back. You can last a lot longer than a running back. I think you can last into your low 30s as a tight end, man.
So you're saying that Dallas's peak is going down?
I'm saying that Dallas is still in his peak era. That's what I'm saying.
I still think it's going to go even higher because we're talking about that production, that sharing the field with Zach Ertz has been a thing the last couple of years. I feel like it's a perfect opportunity for him to just – this is the breakout season. He was on pace. The way he was playing last year, he was on pace for a 1,000-yard season if he, in a 17-game season. But, like, again, yeah, we talk about this tight end two position – I mean, we're just going to throw guys out here, not saying who's going to be tight end two yet, because it's going to be a battle. But we'll go with the elder statesman. But I think he would be the Greg Ward of the tight end group.
Agreed. We're
talking about Richard Rodgers, 257 pounds, 6'4". You know, he's a big dude. He's a guy that is reliable when you call him off the streets. If you need a reliable tight end, if someone gets injured, if somebody goes down, Richard Rodgers is a guy that you can call on to be your tight end three, or a guy who can he's a guy that you can rely on. What are your thoughts on Richard Rodgers?
I think you pretty much nailed it on the head. I mean, I think that I agree. He is comparable to Greg Ward in the fact that he was the guy to step up when we really needed him from the tight end position. But with that being said, I really can't think of many times that come to mind where Richard Rodgers let us down. I think of a bunch of more times where Richard Rodgers starts off a game with, like, he has the first three receptions of the game and he gets the momentum of the offense going. That's the Richard Rodgers I remember. So, like, as far as Richard, I think he's a good tight end. I don't think he's one of the, you know, top flight, top 30 tight ends in the league. He's not a starter, I don't think. But as far as the best backup tight end of the league, he's up there, bro. I think he's up. And AJ, thank you for the compliment. That's going to carry me for the rest of the week.
Listen, man, I'm a big fan of Dick Rod. All right. You know what I mean? The guy's clutch. He comes in here, he does the job. Third down conversions, he's big on. And it's like you said, he's the Greg Ward of the team. You know what I mean? Well, he's the second Greg Ward of the team. You know, you can count on him to come in here and do the plays. You can count on him to come in here and fill in the roster spot when somebody goes down. You know, got the pleasure of meeting him at the Eagles Autism. Tall dude, big dude. You know what I'm saying? So great. Another one with a great attitude. He's like a
– Did you call him Dick Rap?
But you know, it was just cool meeting him at the Eagles Autism. Got to talk a little bit. He's another one. Like you said, he could fill in that spot. He could start off as a number three, but you know, he could always work his way to be that number two. You know, I mean, we're gonna find out
for sure.
There's some love in the chat for Dick Rod.
I mean, dude, it's also, I feel like there's some bias in the name. People love a good nickname. You know what I mean? And Dick Rod is pretty freaking good, bro.
Classic.
Talk about pretty freaking good. Getting Grant Calcaterra at a SMU. You know, again, he's got 6'4". He's got that size, 240 pounds, 23 years old. He's a rookie. And this rookie, in fact, also played with Jalen Hurts while he was in Oklahoma for a short stint. But the interesting thing about Grant Calcaterra is he's a guy that he's modeled his game after Zach Ertz. But he's that guy that, you know, if you're looking for a pass catching tight end, he's a guy that can give you, you know, some playmaking ability. But, you know, he did deal with concussions. He's a guy who almost retired from football, was this close to being an EMT. He quit the day before he was about to start. He realized he's like he thought to himself, "Do I go back? Do I just, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda?" Or he decided to transfer and went to SMU, became a big part of their offense down there. So I think Grant Calcaterra has a great opportunity to get early reps early and often. And if he shines out there, I think, you know, but I do think about the tight ends that played here last year, like the Jack Stolls of the world and, you know, the Dick Rods and them and such, and the Tyree Jacksons. If they played phenomenally well, would they draft a Grant Calcaterra? You know, so how are you guys feeling about Grant?
Well, I mean, obviously, my facial expressions were starting to worry Prime, but you said something in there that really made me worried. You know, first of all, strike one, number 47 for a tight end. Hate it. It wasn't just that. It was when Gail mentioned the fact that he wanted to be an EMT, and the first thing I thought of was Danny Watkins. And I'm like, all right, he's number 47. Hey, he wanted to be an EMT. He retired from the game. He's got 157 concussions. Listen, I think the kid shows talent in his tape. But like I said, that this is a very deep tight end class. And while we're like, the guy's talent is obvious. His size is great. 6'4", 240. But the fact that, you know, he wanted to step away from the game. He has all these concussions. Like, it's not just me worrying about the Eagles' tight end position. It's also me worrying about his health. I don't want this guy's brains to be scrambled. If, like, you are pursuing an NFL contract because you want to get that bag, I totally get it, dude. I totally get it. You want to set your family up. But at the same time, you want to be able to walk and enjoy the rest of your life. And if these concussions are a serious issue, I think that he should take that into effect.
But is he a football guy?
Listen, man, we went to watch Brian Dawkins get inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I saw football guys that are Hall of Famers that are sitting there with rubber helmets on because their bodies just couldn't take the beating they took while they were in the league. Grant Calcaterra is coming into the league with a slew of concussions already. He'll probably get some more if he plays in the NFL. So I'm just looking out for him and inevitably what might happen.
I mean, so you bring that.
Huh?
You're concerned dad right now.
I'm concerned dad.
27, concerned dad.
27, he's 23. I got to look out for the youngins, pal.
I don't blame Evan for being concerned. You know what I mean? It's a risk that we ended up taking by even drafting him with all these problems that he has. I mean, look, the tight end position being rookies, I'm always excited to see these guys come in and shine because I think we've been blessed for the past few years with that, you know, that position with Zach Ertz, with Dallas, even guys before those guys. So it's always a position to look forward to because I feel like it, you know, these guys that come in and fill that spot are clutch, but you know, with this guy's resume, it is scary, man. I mean, the number doesn't bother me as much as it bothers Evan, but the, you know, the concussions list and the fact that he was going to be an EMT. Yeah. I mean, like, hey bro, Danny Watkins is definitely one to go ahead and think about.
Smells very Danny Watkins-ish.
I get you, man. So, you know, I mean, I agree with you, man. It's definitely risky, especially, you know what I mean, for what he's been going through already. So, you know, I really wish him nothing but the best. And at the end of the day, I just hope that, you know what I mean, he's safe and it works out for him. We'll see what happens.
So the dad of the group has spoken. So if Prime is concerned, all right, I'll be concerned for his health. I was watching a lot of the interviews with him and just seeing that he came to a point like he really did the research on like his health, like he, and after coming to a conclusion, like he was like, I had to step away from the game. But then I was just like, okay, if you went to that extent to figure out if you were, you know, it's not looking good, like for him to come back, I was like, bro, that's a lot for you to come back. And I mean,
it is, but there's also like the mentality of you're not going to be able to play football forever. Like I get that he's a young kid and he could be weighing the fact of like, you know, it could be a risky thing, but like it's now or never to make it to the NFL. I have this opportunity at 23 years old and this window isn't going to be around for very long at all. So I think that's really what it comes down to. I think he's just taking advantage of an opportunity, which isn't wrong. I just think, you know,
now,
it's risky.
Paul saying he's going to have to wear two helmets. Now, if you guys are old enough, you probably don't remember, or young enough, you probably don't remember Mark Kelso. Check out the Mark Kelso. Google Mark Kelso, K-E-L-S-O, I believe.
He that had big, doggy-ass helmet he had to wear?
Biggest helmet of the century. Yeah, looked
my man off of Spaceballs.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
why did he wear this freaking thing?
Because he had head injuries. Yeah. It's the best looking helmet.
What was my man from the Percy Harvin, right? That was the dude. I mean, nice.
Oh, Percy Harvin,
concussion. Always had concussion problems. You know what I mean? Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's risky, man. However you look at it, it's risky.
And I mean, you just listen.
Are you guys trying to look for that helmet?
I already found it. I was looking at it, but like, I'm just looking at it from a perspective of like over the past 10 years or so. CTE has become like a huge thing, and there's been there's been crazy situations where guys pass away way before they should have.
Bro, I'm not sure if you guys heard the news the other day about Demaryius Thomas. Yeah,
like that's exactly kind of what I was referring to too. It's just crazy, man. Like
that was interesting because I was thinking about if you were some of his teammates, you're like, all right, well, he was young, bro. So I mean, it is interesting. I did for the people out there, if you're listening on the podcast, you're not able to see the Mark Kelso helmet. This helmet is the most
ginormous on top of a helmet, bro.
He got a helmet on top of a helmet. Yeah. So, I mean, like, as we move along, I think we were super concerned dads in here. Only one of us is a real dad. I'm a dad to some pets. But moving right along, I go Jack Stoll, 6'4", 247, 24 years old, not yet in the Tybo class, 2 years experience. But I think Jack Stoll, a guy, you know, being an undrafted free agent out of Nebraska, came to this team, and it's not every day that an undrafted free agent makes a roster and is able to contribute. It's not sexy what he was contributing, but the fact that he was on there, being a reliable, a tight end three, or coming in, and we're talking about an undrafted free agent. You know, his ability to beat out some of the guys that they decided to keep, talking about Travis Fulgham, a guy who had a monster couple games, and you kept the Jack Stoll over a Fulgham. You're like, really? But Jack Stoll, I think he's going to have his hands full this year because obviously they want to see more from him in the passing game. Can he be a reliable, is he smart with the football IQ out there? He knows what to do. Knows what to do, knows where to be. How you guys feeling about Jack Stoll? Jack Stoll sounds like a bottle of liquor. Grab me some of the Jack Stoll.
It does. I like Jack Stoll. I think he's a bubble guy, ultimately. He's a guy that came in to be undrafted and, contribute the way he did. That is impressive, and that definitely gets him some brownie points. But ultimately, I don't think he is a guy that is head and shoulders above anybody else on this tight end list that's not named Dallas Goedert. I think that they're all kind of neck and neck. Jack Stoll's one of those guys that could definitely earn a tight end two or three position. But it's still up in the air. He's a bubble guy.
I agree. I mean, Jack Stoll, going into his second year, I mean, he's 24 years old, going back to the graph that Evan put up there a little bit earlier. You know what I mean? He's getting there, so maybe he could go ahead and reach that peak that, most 24, 25-year-old tight ends get at. So we'll see. But, he definitely has some serious shoes to fill in this year.
He's almost at that peak year, 25.
A lot of tight ends come out of Nowheresville in the middle of the country. Jack Stoll out of Nebraska, Goddard out of South Dakota. They know how to grow tight ends out there.
Hey, man, they'll be eating their Wheaties out there, man. Talk about eating their Wheaties or eating, I don't know what. I think he needs to eat a little bit more Wheaties. But J.J. Arcega Whiteside, other known as J-Jaw, 6'2", 237. He's the lightest of the group. but he isn't. Age 25, 4 years of experience at the wide receiver position. 3 years of experience at the wide receiver position. J-Jaw is a guy who we actually on the show had mentioned that he should move to tight end. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he did move to tight end, I think everyone on the podcast should pat their own back. Go ahead. Give it to yourself. Yep. Because, I mean, we're talking about the last straws here for his opportunity to play with the Eagles. But the fact that if you're going to keep him as a tight end three, he should be able to beat out some of these tight ends and safeties in space. Does have some size. I don't know about the separation. Blocking. Blocking as a wide receiver is different than blocking an edge rusher. So I feel like he's got everything in front of him to, and he's got the opportunity. But I think J-Jaw, you know, this is the fact that how much you paying him, like how much you paying J-Jaw to do what he's doing. Like you could get man's off the street, Jack Stoll style, instead of paying J-Jaw. Because look at the money. Like, are you really going to pay him that much to do what he's doing and could what he's potentially going to contribute?
So let me start with the positives here. Positives being what we've heard for years about what a great blocker he is. Out of Stanford, intelligent. But you hit the nail on the head, Gail, in the fact that blocking as a wide receiver is 100% different than blocking as a tight end. You're blocking cornerbacks that are some of the lightest guys on the defense versus blocking edge rushers and linebackers who are some of the strongest guys that are on football teams. That's a huge, huge thing that you need to overcome. The thing is, and like, I don't mean any disrespect to JJ and what I'm about to say or anything like that.
Whoa.
Listen,
you're usually going to highly disrespect the man before you say that, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I totally get what I'm saying. But the point is that I think that this is going to be a very telling move for Howie Roseman. Because I think that if Howie ends up deciding to carry J-Jaw onto this team, I think it'll be solely because he doesn't want to admit they were wrong in drafting him. I think that J-Jaw would be tight end three, and he's going to end up really not getting any playing time this year. And at the end of the year, we're going to step away and we're going to be like, honestly, we could have had someone contribute more for less money. And I think that's ultimately what's going to end up happening. I think J-Jaw gets this third tight end spot simply because we have a guy with a big ego that runs the team. He may do things well in other respects, signing guys to good contracts, doing well in free agency, but he also still has an ego. And I think that J-Jaw is an extension of that. So if Howie Roseman can surprise me and put that behind him and go for a more effective option, kudos to him. My hat is off to him. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think J-Jaw is going to be your tight end three.
Oh,
bro. I don't have nothing to say. I don't know what else I can say. You guys, there ain't enough to say about J-Jaw, and whatever was, you guys pretty much already, you know, talked about it. All I'm going to say is this is it. There is nothing else after this, man. You know, that whole Howie Roseman thing probably is playing a big, you know, big part in this decision on keeping him on this roster, because he doesn't want to admit that he was wrong. He doesn't want to admit to the fan base. You know, it's a lot on him. So he's got to do whatever he's got to do to at least try to make, you know, get some type of positive out of this. But this is it, man. This is where the line draws. And if he doesn't feel, you know, compete at this position and gets a spot, he's got to go, man. That's it. That's all I can really say about that.
Now, J-Jaw's cap hit for this season is 1.5. Yeah, he's making $1,574,231. There's probably some cents in there, but you know, like his dead cap is $405,000. So if he is cut, that's, you know,
that's a drop in the bucket.
You know, so I mean, you know, is it that bad? You know, like
No, it's not. But. It's a matter of is Howie going to be able to tuck the ego aside, man?
Got some money there for a bedazzled umbrella.
And shout out to the J-Jaw family that we hung out with last year and Prime allowed his mom to come up so graciously, like, come on, mama, Arthego Whiteside.
Yeah.
You know, and J.J. was very, very, very nice to Prime, and he said, appreciate you, Prime, for allowing me to have a moment with my mom, big hug after the Washington game. But moving right along, I have a feeling Eagle fans have a certain feeling about J.J. The comments are littered with interesting nuggets of information.
When you get drafted in the second round and then you are moved around to a different position and you are fighting for your life just to make the team after a year or two, yeah, that's
like it. His fall from grace is like if you were a work in the wait staff. Next thing you know, you got moved to the fryer later.
Yeah, but the thing is that you say his fall from grace. I don't think his fall was that far because I don't really think that he ever showed us a huge flash of like, wow, this guy's got something. I can't think of one play in his career where he had that.
Talking about a guy who also had a position change, very exciting for him to be able to, keep playing. He talked about the quarterback out of Buffalo, Tyree Jackson. Mm-hmm. Big dude, man. Also looks like Steven Puga, if you know Puga. So Puga's big brother on steroids. But Tyree Jackson, 6'7", 249. He's in his second year. I think, you know, the fact that they moved on from Zach Ertz, they had some love for what they saw in Tyree Jackson. Tyree Jackson ended up with a back injury early in I think it was a camp. They shelved him for part of the season, then ends up tearing his ACL late in the season. So Tyree Jackson, a guy that a lot of us were rooting for him in his skill set, and the fact that he got hurt again, you know, I feel like, you know, you come back from ACL. Not everyone comes back from ACLs. Not everyone is the same after an ACL tear, but hopefully he is doing okay. But Tyree Jackson, how you guys feeling about Tyree Jackson coming into the season?
You want to go first, Prime?
Yeah, I mean, I'm big on Tyree Jackson. He was definitely impressive in the beginning of last season, preseason leading into the regular season. You know, I know he had the injury at the end of the season, so his time is limited going into the season. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm big, man. My hopes for him coming back healthy, fully strong. You know, I think he's going to go ahead and definitely elevate himself up on that roster spot. So I'm looking forward to seeing Tyree come back healthy and do his thing.
Yeah, I to be honest with you, I agree with Prime. I think that this is honestly the tight end two position is Tyree Jackson's for the taking. I think that from all the flashes and all, like, obviously we heard so much chatter coming out of camp last year about how he was just, you know, lighting the world on fire, how good he looked. And then on top of that, you add in his size, 6'7", 250. That's huge. And he, you know, will be a force to be reckoned with out on the field. I think that Tyree Jackson, if he is able to stay healthy and you pick up where he left off last year, I think he's tight end two on this team. But if his, you know, he comes back from the ACL and he still continues to struggle, I think the Eagles would go in a different direction.
Primo?
Yeah, he answered first.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's coming back from injury. So, like, depending on where he is with his recovery, do you save a spot for him on the 53? Because I mean, that's what they did last year. So I think they're high on him. I'm wondering what Grant Calcaterra brings to the table. If they feel like he's more, you know, he's, you know, you're talking about Grant Calcaterra, who's already a tight end, and Tyree Jackson is developing as we speak. So that'll be the interesting part.
I will say that, like, I don't think that it would be smart at all to roll with a Dallas Goedert, Grant Calcaterra, Tyree Jackson type of thing, because you've got two out of the three guys potentially could be gone from injury. You got no depth there in my mind. So I think if either one of those guys makes the, you know, the top three tight ends on the team, I don't think the other one does between Calcaterra and Tyree Jackson.
Would you bet? Would you? Who, if you had $100, who would you bet on being tight end? To Tyree Jackson or Calcaterra?
That's tough. I'm kind of, my initial thought is I'm leaning Calcaterra just based off the fact that I think that the ACL, I think it's just going to be more difficult for him to come back from. I think that Calcaterra has a clear mind right now, probably is, you know, doing just fine health-wise. But it's until he catches that first crack to the head that's just, you know, not good, that that's where we start to see him struggle.
Now, Cody says, honestly, I think Tyree can be better than Rodgers depending on how he's coming back from these injuries. I think you keep Rodgers on the bat phone.
Yeah.
You know, like, we need you, my guy. So, Prime, I forgot that. Money on tight end two, Grant Calcaterra or Tyree Jackson?
I'm going to go with Tyree Jackson, man. You know, I got high hopes for him, and I'm really, like, you know, hoping that he does come back, overcomes the whole ACL injury. You know, I know the history on people coming back from that type of injury is not favored on his side, but look, I'm confident, and, you know, I'm really rooting for him to come back healthy and do his thing.
Shout out to Chris, who's finally moved to Philadelphia from down south. He's now a Philadelphian, working for the Philadelphia Eagles as well.
Welcome to the city, Christopher.
Can we get some Eagle swag or something, Chris? Something? Bringing up the rear, we're talking about this is the last guy, man. I'm almost kind of sad.
Yeah.
No, it's a guy, we another undrafted free agent tight end out of Oregon. Or was it Oregon State? Oregon State. The fact that, you know, we lost him off the practice squad, got plucked. Spent some time with the Indianapolis Colts. So he has a relationship with Sirianni as well. He's 6'4", 244 pounds. You know, he's a guy that they wanted to develop. Is he a potential player to fight for the back end of the tight end position? He's gonna have competition, man. That's what I like to see. That back end group, you know. Is anyone super dynamic? I think if you think about it, Tyree Jackson is the guy that you're hoping he comes to fruition, because at that size, and, you know, if he's got the playmaking ability, Jack Stoll is, you know, that's basic. Like, I mean, if basic's not bad, but
yeah, basic can be reliable. Basic can be reliable, but no, it's a guy to me. He's the dark horse, man. He's the guy that is kind of waiting in the wings right now. That if he pops off during camp, he could be that guy that he could be that Tyree Jackson, or, you know, whoever. He could be that guy to fill out the roster. I think no, it's a guy. I mean, obviously we liked him a lot. We tried to hide him on the practice squad, ended up getting plucked. I'm pretty sure we protected him a few weeks too last year, if I'm not mistaken. But like I said, he's my dark horse. I think he's a guy that could surprise people this training camp. But with that being said, dude, I think that any one of these six guys can make the roster, which is a good problem to have.
I mean, his career. If Noah becomes a dark horse, makes the roster. I mean, that's a crazy career arc. I mean, Noah's Ark would be.
Oh, wow. You've been sitting on that one, haven't you?
Hey, that's good. Yeah, I'm definitely in need of some food. But Todd, he says, here's a scenario. If something happens to one of the tight ends, do the Eagles try and trade Booby Miles to AZ for Zach? Come on, man.
Stop. Would you stop it?
Get out of here. I mean, I think, you know, Zach Ertz is a beloved Eagle, ex-Eagle, you know. But
we don't got to just bring Eagles back for the sake of bringing Eagles back.
Anyway, Boopy's going to pop off anyway. I don't know about how Ev feels about that, but I think Boopy's going to pop off.
Yeah? See?
Boopy's popping off.
I'm for it.
Noah's Arks, you know, everything's crazy. Now,
you think it's going to be a nip slip?
Yeah. You know, talking about just if you're dead, just throwing out some scenarios out there. A yes or no? Or does Dallas Goedert make the Pro Bowl this year?
Wow.
Dallas Goedert make the Pro Bowl this year? And does
how many? I'm trying to think about the other tight ends in the NFC that would challenge him. I think he does. I think he does. Gronk retired.
For now.
But I think if he comes back, it won't even be till like midway through the year.
True that. Kittle.
Kittle. Yeah, it's a tough one. But I mean, how many tight ends make it? Like two or three? Per conference?
I think it's something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Goddard will make it. I think
that's a yes from Evan.
Yes from me.
Prime?
I'm going to say yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's definitely in his favor to go ahead and be that top, one of the top tight ends this season. You know, we have a lot of weapons on the team that's going to draw a lot of attention, so that's definitely going to open up the playing field for him. And, you know, that's a possibility for some serious and positive stats this upcoming season. So I'm in favor of him making the Pro Bowl. I'm with Evan right now just trying to think of what other NFC tight ends, you know, are definitely going to be over him. The only one that comes to my mind right now.
Does Schultz scare you?
Really?
I mean, Paul says Dallas makes it. Jimmy says yes. Cody says nah, Kittle.
Well, I mean, Kittle would make it. Don't get me wrong, but that doesn't mean Dallas can't make it either.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that Goddard would make it over Kittle. I just think he would make it in addition to Kittle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm just saying, like, I really can't think of anybody else top tier than Kittle. I mean,
in the NFC, yeah.
In the NFC, really, yeah.
That other player that you just mentioned.
Tonyan, I guess, could Schultz? Be up there.
Dallas Robert, Schultz.
Robert Tonyan with
Dalton Green Schultz.
Yeah.
Remember who my other tight end?
Kyle Pitts.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Kyle Pitts. But, I still see, you know. You
remember who my tight end sleeper, day three sleeper back in the day was?
Who was that?
Dalton Schultz.
Oh, yeah?
And the fact that he's a productive guy for the Cowboys, it's you know, they got him in, you know, later rounds. So I feel like he's worked himself into a perfect opportunity for spot. Sure.
Well, I didn't even think about that because, I mean, they don't have Amari Cooper no more. You got, you know, CeCe and I forgot the other dude's name.
Gallup.
Yeah. So, Schultz could have an outstanding year.
Yeah, they're a bunch of bums.
They have bums regardless.
Will says Dallas will not make the Pro Bowl. It's very exciting when you think about the red zone with Dallas Goedert and what the offense is going to look like.
Logan Thomas.
Yeah, Logan Thomas. Wentz to Logan Thomas might be Wentz something I'll watch out for.
You made us say the name.
speaking of Washington, and now if you guys are planning on doing a road trip, semi-road trip, you talk about going down to Washington for the Philly sports trips. It should be a great time. I know they're having one in Detroit, but you know, September 25th, it's the Carson versus Jalen Bowl, man. I think that should be hyped up even more. Like, this is like, you know, they are, I'm sure they're friends, but they're
not.
I was doing air quotes.
Yeah.
This is a competition. This is a battle of like ex Eagle quarterbacks first. It's like when they went down and McNabb was down there. Kind of weird scene, right? McNabb. Which game do you want to win more? Beating McNabb or beating Carson?
Beating Carson.
Beating Carson now, absolutely. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, McNabb was like, McNabb gave us, in my mind, a whole lot more than Carson gave us, man. So, like, I look at it. McNabb was at the end of his career.
I can't believe
What did you just say, Ev?
What?
He gave us four straight NFC. He didn't win the Super
Bowl. And Carson gave us a Super Bowl, bro.
He didn't. Listen, he played a part in it. He played a part in it.
Serious part in that. 12 fucking games, bro. Come on. All right. This is enough. This is an listen, argument.
Bro, listen. Maybe I'm being a little harsh on Carson, but the fact is that he left a sour taste in my mouth.
I get it, bro. Donovan left a sour taste on me. You know what I mean?
I get that. And like, I rank McNabb higher than Carson. Sorry. That's where I stand. I think I'm crazy for that.
I'm just like, hey, look.
he did it for longer. Consistent, more consistent, longer. But it's funny because I was like random, like some family members came over the other day. They just out of nowhere, like, yeah, what do you think about this? If Carson doesn't get hurt, do the Eagles win the Super Bowl? And I was it's a question
we're never gonna get an answer to, bro.
And I have no answer to that one. I was like, I'm not sure because Nick Foles was magical.
Yeah,
what Nick Foles was doing was magical. So that was the perfect ride, dude.
But see, like, this is a topic that I really don't want to get into. But the same amount of people that had no faith in Nick, are quick to go ahead and be all hyped up about Nick because Nick proved himself. But I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm gonna stop there.
Now Cody says Wentz did not give us more than McNabb. I'm sorry.
That's cool, Cody. Howdy. Yeah.
Oh, bro, that could be an episode on its own. Like, there's a lot of scenarios where it's a weird scene, dude. Like, at the end of the day, just be happy you got a Super Bowl, man.
I'm happy, bro.
I was talking to Jesse, the homie from the Trent Cole camp, and he said, bro, like, if that Super Bowl, he's like, I'm good. I don't need to win another one. That's how jacked up the old heads are that they got one, bro. They're like, I'm good. I don't need anything. He's like, the second one's never going to be live up to the first one.
I agree with that.
There's nothing
like your first time, bro.
But I'm not going to say I don't want no more. I want more.
I'm going to say I want more, but I will agree that the first one will always be the best.
Yeah, the first one is definitely what you would call it. All right, so Cody's 27. So we're talking about what? Almost 18 years ago. So what was he, 9?
He's my age. So I don't understand what your point is. Like, your mind is warped, Brian. You think that Carson was really better than McNabb for real?
No, I didn't say that he was better than McNabb. I just said he didn't give what we got from him, from Carson. He didn't give it. He had 4 years, 4 chances to do it, and he couldn't do it. 4 chances.
I don't think it was just him, bro. I think they did McNabb a disservice by not putting the people around him.
Paul with the Blu-ray. I can't even think of the word, man.
VHS.
Blu-ray swag versus VHS.
What word couldn't you think of? They're all there.
Swag. I couldn't think of the word. Swag. Yeah, I mean, before we get out of here.
VHS, I think they even got it on floppy disk, too.
Before we get out of here, make sure you guys, if you're looking for the other position profiles, we recently did one on the wide receivers. Look at the Wu-Tang Clan right here. Almost every single different style wide receiver in the house.
Bringing the ruckus.
Also, I was watching the Dallas Goedert presser, and he also, I'm keeping tabs of how many people have shouted out Britton Covey. He also, out of nowhere, was like, he said, who standed out so far? And he's like, oh, Britton Covey, without a doubt. I was like, okay, hey, Dallas. I'm just keeping a tally. Check out the running back position breakdown. I know Evan had some spicy hot takes there. We did one on the QB prospects. I mean, not prospects, the QB roster depth. That was pretty exciting. That got spicy as well. So, I mean, go check out the older videos. Before we get out of here, any last words? I mean, we're moving right into the weekend. It's Friday. Any big plans?
I got some last words, Todd. What happened week 18 in Indianapolis last year versus Jacksonville?
Oh.
Choke artist.
That man got some serious heat.
I just want to say have a good weekend, guys.
So, I mean, Ev, are you like this after bad after breakups? Are you like this? Are you jaded?
You know how I am, bro. You're dead to me. That's what it is. I don't ever want to hear anything positive about you again. You're dead to me.
Scorn.
Oh man.
What about you, Brian?
Nah, you know, it's Friday. Make sure everybody has a great weekend. And then going back to what Gail had posted up there, a lot of people have been reaching out to us about these trips. Hey, are we going here? Are we going there? Yes, we are. But in order for you guys to really have a good time and really know, you know, feel the full effect of a trip with the Fourth and Joan boys, go to Philly Sports Trip. You know, I mean, hit the link, come and join us at the Redskins Detroit Arizona game, and you guys will know what it's all about. So the answer to your question is yes, we are going to be there. In order for you guys to find out, you guys got to come and join us. So make sure you guys go to Philly Sports Trip and make it happen. All right, there it is.
Well, there's also there's potential of a bus. Like, if you're going to take the bus trip to Washington, Fourth and John could have a bus. I don't really like buses, so this is a very interesting dilemma. But we'll talk about it after the show.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that it's going to be our bus, though, up
after the show, honestly.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the fact that it's going to be our bus, we have control of how things are going to be there, so don't worry about it again. But like, it's going to be fine,
bro.
This could have been an email.
Yeah, shout out to you, Blue Mini. Shout out to you, Blue Mini.
Likewise, yeah, Prime.
Yeah, yeah. Last words. Were you down, Prime?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Oh, how did you bowl last night?
Oh man, I don't even want to talk about it. It's horrible.
That bad,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Double digits.
This man's got This man's got a midnight green bowling ball. He's got accessories. Like how you can bowl bad with like midnight green?
I didn't bowl bad. I didn't bowl to my potential last night. So I didn't bowl bad, but
you end up in the gutter, bro.
One time. The ball slipped out of my hand.
Do you go straight at the pins or you curve?
No, I got the curve. I got the curve.
Is there, if you're bowling, is that better to curve it versus, like, I see all like the you know, top notch guys. They're always
I can't really say. I mean, it depends on how well it's more fitting to you. I mean, yesterday I was going against guys that were straight bowlers, little. I hope they're tuning in, man. Little bitches bowling an 8-pound, 10-pound ball, man. Like it's sad, but you know, I mean, like, yeah. At the end of the day,
bowling beef.
That shit kind of pisses you off.
I'll see you at the lanes, bro.
Bowl with a goddamn ball, like a real ball, man. Like the little sissy balls is ridiculous. But so, yeah, I mean,
so are you when you bowl a striker, do you like, who do you think you are? I am. Is that do you shit like that?
I don't care.
No, he's like this. Nah. to whoever just the spare opportunity.
I do act like that though. I ain't gonna lie. Like, you know what I mean? I end up going from like one side of the lane bowling alley to the other side just to go talk shit. Like, yeah.
Oh, AJ can bowl.
AJ, okay. All right.
Hey, well, hey,
227 was my highest, but 224. Damn. Hey, that's
good. I'm down to bowl if you're on the bowl one night.
Yeah, listen, man, let's make it happen for sure. We're for John night. There we go.
Oh, Prom's gonna flex. I think
Prom's gonna flex. Listen, I'm not gonna flex. We could just go live. We could show the, you know what I mean? We could do something.
Oh, yeah, that audio would be awesome in a bowling alley,
right?
Further AM, yes, sir. You can hit up Design Tree. I'll send you a link. You can order one off there. Cody says, seen Jay Cutler on ESPN winning a championship in cornhole. Jay Cutler, the quarterback?
Hey, man. That's an interesting game, too.
Yeah. Yo, he won a car playing cornhole, bro.
Yeah. Dude, I saw it. I was there.
I have no skills in bowling. But
yeah, my first game is always my best one, and then I just fall apart. Like the drinks start flowing.
Jimmy, I'm with you, man. That's what these guys are talking about. I got an Eagles bowling ball. I got an Eagles bag.
How heavy is your ball, Prime?
Mine's is a 14. Yeah.
Talk about falling apart. We always fall apart at the end of the show. We just go off on a tangent.
Sorry,
and
man.
It's Friday, at. Man. It's Friday.
It's usually food related, not bowling.
Yeah. We're talking about random sports. But yeah, thank you guys for sticking around for the position profile. We're going to try and make it through this thing before camp starts. If anything else spicy comes up, I know our other spicy podcast is the top 25. The top 25 most important.
Guys that'll make the biggest impact.
It's not always the best on the team, but the most important.
That one got importante. That one got spicy last year.
So that'll be coming around the corner. If you guys have any ideas for podcasts, DM one of us and we'll try to make it happen.
Yo, we are we're less than a month away from the Eagles open practice. It is. I can smell it, boys. I can smell it.
5 days, Lane Johnson days, bro.
And there are words that an open camp, I mean open practice tailgate, is going to be happening. So
get your stomachs ready for some cheesesteaks.
I mean, it's practice. Like you have to get ready for the real thing. So
I got to practice getting back in the motion, bro. It's practice for all of us.
I got to go get the grill. Looks like, you know, we have two grills now.
We got two grills now.
Yeah.
What the fuck did that happen?
The one I bought down.
Double for you. Is it a flat top?
It's. You have to check it out, dude. I'll have to check it out. We got two grills.
All right. Do we have two gas tanks?
Yeah.
Like it.
We got fire.
If you want to grill your onions separately on the other side.
I mean, maybe I'll just have to expand the menu this year if we got two grills. I don't know.
Man, we were just totally off the rails. But shout out to y'all. I'm going to take the words from Paul, my man Paul over here. Appreciate y'all. And then we'll see you guys in the next one. And always fly. Eagles fly.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.